Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Happy birthday, America. I've been asked before, why do you do all this? I said, it's celebration. Amen. Well, aren't you supposed to love other nations? I said, this ain't about loving just the American nation. It's about celebrating its birth. Can you imagine this world without America? God has used this nation, birthed this nation, and used this nation to spread his gospel to help people and to take his kingdom. Now, I'm going to celebrate his birthday. I'm going to do it. Amen. How about you? You know, there is a difference between patriotism and Christianity. We need to be patriots. We need to be excited about our country, what God's doing in it. I know there's a lot of darkness in it, but I also know there's a lot of light in it because I know that I'm here. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You're here. You're the light. So there's light in this nation. There's some darkness, but there's some light in this nation. And we want to celebrate its birthday. We want to celebrate. You know, we don't mind. I mean, there are people that really resist this. I mean, really, they'll resist this because they think it's being idolatry. But do you think it's idolatry when you decorate for your child's birthday? Oops. No, it's not idolatry. It's a way of celebrating what God is doing, and I'm grateful that I'm in this nation. How about you? Amen. Amen. This is a great nation. Well, before we go... you think we're going home? Before we go into the message, Brenda's got something that the Lord gave her. And Martha, you come up and give what God has given you. Yeah, come on. You can do it. Because they sort of go together here.
Oh, okay. Okay, you know, prophetic gifts can be a little strange sometimes. And if you're a seer, sometimes you see some really strange things. So this morning while we were doing praise and worship, here's what I saw. I saw this big bowl of water, clear water in a clear bowl, and there was a flop-eared bunny rabbit in that bowl, and it was a female, and she was singing, and she was saying, she was twirling around, and when she was saying, come, go with me. Now, I have no idea what this means. I see these things, but I never know what they mean. So every once in a while I do. But there is an interpretation coming.
Yes, there is. That is, the bowl of water is the cleansing that God is doing in our midst. There's a great cleansing that he's doing for us. And when you think of rabbits and you think of female rabbits, what do you think of?
Reproduction.
They're good at math. And what part of math do they do?
Multiply.
Everybody say multiply.
Multiply.
What is the rabbit saying?
Come go with me.
Are y'all getting this? God is getting us to the place of being washed and being stirred in the presence of God. And God is saying, I'm putting you in a place to reproduce. Everybody say reproduce.
Reproduce.
Say it again, reproduce.
Reproduce.
And God is saying us through the rabbit. Listen, God don't speak through no rabbit. Well, he spoke through a donkey in the Bible. I don't know why he can't speak through no rabbit. You got me? Yeah. So now the rabbit is saying, come go with me. So here's a question. Do you want to multiply? Do you want to multiply and reproduce the very life that we've been given to give others? Do you want to see the kingdom multiplied? Yes, 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 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, yes. So here's the encouragement from the Lord, word of the Lord this morning, through a little vision. It says, I'm stirring you around in this cleansing that I'm doing in this nation. And I'm inviting you to go with me so that he can be multiplied. Now, I'm signing up. How about you guys?
Yes.
Are you ready to get ready to multiply the very grace, the goodness, and the mercy of all living God to be able to, no matter where you go, you just bring that multiplication everywhere you go. You just bring the very presence of God.
Yes.
That's awesome. Amen.
Yes.
If you believe it, say yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Martha.
When we were in intercessory prayer this morning, there was three of us saw the same thing in the spirit. So as we were praying, what we saw was a cauldron pot, and we were stirring that cauldron pot with our prayers. And what the Lord was saying, the prayers that you have prayed that haven't been answered, as we stir that pot, those prayers are coming to the surface, and the Holy Spirit is sending them out to be answered. It's time for some prayers that you've prayed to be answered. Okay?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Martha and that group is praying up at the office, and Brenda's down here. Do you see the similarities? There's a stirring, there's a pot, there's a stirring, there's a pot. And the answered prayer, the thing that he's about to bring all of that up and going to send them out. And all that stuff is multiplication. It's going to bring forth the very glory of God. I'm telling you, we're on the brink. We are on the brink of the greatest days we've ever known. But we're also in the midst of the darkest days that we're about to see. It is true. You can't focus on the darkness, people. Church, you cannot focus on how dark it's getting. You got to focus on how light it's getting. Because the light that is rising up and rising upon us out of Isaiah 60 is going to be a light that's going to draw nations. And you know, God loves nations. Matter of fact, that's Jesus' inheritance, and we're one of them. So don't get upset over celebrating nations. The Bible says that the nations are Jesus' inheritance. We're bringing the nations to him. Amen? And we're doing that with his spirit and his word. Oh, it's just so good to be here today. Turn and tell somebody, I love you. You know, we sang a couple of songs, you know, and one of them, I wrote something down. And it said, you are the fight within my soul. So if there's any fight in you, it's Jesus.
Yes.
Come on now, it can be flesh, but he said, you are the fight that's in my soul.
Yes.
So there should be something inside us that rises up because he's called the great and mighty warrior.
Yes.
He is the great and mighty warrior. He teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Why is that? No, we're supposed to fight. Wait a minute. We're supposed to love people. We do. But our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is in the spiritual realm. Did you know that God told David to pursue his enemies? I'm telling you right now, if you do not pursue your enemies, they will pursue you and overtake you. Whatever spiritual enemy you have, if you're not pursuing to take it out, it's pursuing to overtake you. But before David was ever a warrior, see, everybody looks at David as being the warrior, but before David was a warrior, he was a worshiper. He majored on his worship of his God. And out of his worship, he did war.
Yes.
Out of his worship, he did war.
Yes.
Why? He was pushing back against what?
Darkness.
The darkness. Smashing idols.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Jason. It is a good song. But smashing idols, right? Casting things that have exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know, it's in the Bible. Smashing the strongholds, demolishing the strongholds that are rising up to be able to overtake you. Well, you say, I don't have any. Well, you got one, it's lying. See, the thing is, if you're looking at our spirit, yes, there's not any in our spirit, but our soul carries them. And we have to deal with them in our mind, will, and our emotions. We have to deal with those things that come up that rises itself against the knowledge of God. He said, smash those idols. Pull them down. That's what he says for us to do. That's in the Bible. So if you don't pursue your enemies, they'll be pursuing you to overtake you. But you got to do that out of worship. You got to do that from a place of worship. From a place of worship that you go into this thing of saying, God, this is all, it's all about him. Amen. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. One other thing that we talked about, it was said in the song, is that we will declare over despair, you are our hope. Yes. We will make a declaration even in the midst of despair. I mean, when you think about despair, it looks like there is no hope. But he said, in the midst of despair, we will make the declaration that you are our hope. You know, we have to make sure that we carry the fullness of the thing that hope talks about in the Bible. A lot of us want to hope for. And the Bible does say faith is the substance of things that's hoped for. But if you read that, and we're going to read some of that beforehand, you'll find out that there is a hope in. Before there is a hope for. It's like this, and you can hope for a lot of things and not be connected with the hope of God. You can hope for a lot of things and not be connected with the hope of God. Why? Because your hope's not in him. If you hang around Terry Wilson long, you'll know that he is... He's one of our pastors here, but if you hang around him long enough, you're going to find out that he really does like Michael Jordan. He's a Tar Heel fan, and that's just fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. And why'd you bring that up? I don't know. No, I do know. Why'd you bring that up? It's because you can say when Michael Jordan was playing ball, and I'll just use it as an example because I know Terry really does like him. I do too. But you can say, Michael Jordan is our only hope today if you're looking at the ball game. Or you can say, our hope is in victory. See the difference? Our hope is in victory. See, our hope is not for just something that is frivolous. And he tells us that we should have our hope in him. A hope when our language should be, my hope is in Jesus, and this is what I'm hoping for through him. My hope is in Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. My hope is in Jesus, and this is what I'm hoping for. That's the fullness of what that hope means. Instead of just saying, I'm hoping for this, no, hope in and then hope for. Right? Hope in and then hope for. I hope we make it. I hope he lets us out at 12 o'clock. I hope the restaurant's not too full when we get there. I hope. See, all of this stuff, you know, that's just stuff. Another thing that we need to understand is that America has enjoyed a lot of Christians in America has enjoyed a lot of blessings. We're going to get to more of that in a minute. Did you find Hebrews? Yeah. Let's read some. I say, come on, rabbit, let's go. I'm in. Hebrews 10:15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness for us, or to us, and after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, here's what he's adding to it. Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Everybody say, "No more." Now, that's worth shouting over. It really is. I will remember them no more. So tell your neighbor, he's remembering your sins and your lawless deeds no more. Now, how many of them looked back and said, "I don't believe that"? Well, you better believe it. It's in the Bible. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Verse 19, therefore, whenever you find a therefore, you find out why it's there, what it's there for, what it's there for. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean, or is that cleaning again, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed, as washing with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold quickly. Let us hold tight to the confession of our hope and do that without wavering. Why did he say without wavering? Because there are things that's going to come to try to cause you to waver from your hope. Without wavering. Everybody say without wavering. Hold fast to your hope, the confession of your hope, without wavering. For who promised? He's faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another in love, to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, to assemble together, which is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more to see, as you see, the day drawing near. Now, what you have here, now we're going to talk about the next part of this passage, but I want to talk about this just for a moment, that this is the beginning of your ability to be able to have confidence. I mean, you know, this message is sort of like, church, America needs you. And you know, God does not have a covenant with America. How many of you know that God does not have a covenant with America? God's got a covenant with some people that are in America. It's true. So we need to understand that America needs the church. I said earlier, think of this world without America in it. Well, think of America without the church in it. So this thing about America needs the church. It's so true. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. Might not get through all of it, but talk about a little bit of it. But this thing begins by saying, since we have the confidence, we have confidence. Why do we have confidence? Because he said, listen, I've already taken care of all of your past. I've taken care of your future. I've taken care of your present. I have taken care of your sins, and I will not remember them anymore. Amen. And he said, when you begin to see this, and he says, and you have this forgiveness, therefore, you're able to enter in with confidence. And what do you enter into? It says, with confidence, we enter the holy places. Now, this is not we enter into the Holy of Holies. That's not what that word is. It's been taught that way, but that's not the word. That's not the Holy of Holies. It's a very interesting word. When it says, when you capture the fact that you are forgiven, that you're redeemed, and you're a child of God, And he loves you, and no matter what you do, he's not going to love you any less. But he's got you covered. When you receive that, and you receive not just the knowledge of it, not just the knowing, but the knowing in your heart to become one with it. A lot of people that know about God, Romans chapter 1 says they knew their God, but they slid way back. Why? Because they worshiped the creature more than they did the Creator. But yet they knew about God. Amen. So we have to understand that this thing about knowing Him and knowing that we're forgiven, that we become one with it in our hearts. In other words, it becomes who we are. We sing a song, I am a child of God. We just don't need to just sing that song. We need to know that song. We need to know that that's true within me. We need to know that it's true within you. We need to know that I am a child of God. No matter what happens, I'm a child of God. So we capture these things and we become one with it, and then it begins to impact how we live. Yes? Because it says the thing that you become one with is what you're going to be living out. Because those that we come one with is what we're going to be, that's how we're going to be set free. For what does the Bible say? You shall know, which means to become one with, not just a knowledge. You shall become one with the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it is the truth that we've become one with that brings forth a freedom that, and he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The word indeed is a legal term meaning it cannot be revoked. Indeed is a legal, that's a court term that says it cannot be revoked. It cannot be overturned. Said whom the Son sets free is free, and it cannot be overturned. That is what's got to get in us. He said, when that gets inside you, you can go in confidence. Therefore, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can go with, everybody say with confidence. That word also means with boldness. Everybody say boldness. You know, this nation needs a Christian and a Christian nation within it, a Christian people, kingdom within it that is bold in what it believes. And not just that we will say it, but we will stand for it. Amen. Not that we will just say it, but we will also stand for it. We'll live it out. True? Because that's what he wants. And that's what this nation needs to see. This nation needs to see a church that's rising up and showing forth his glory, showing forth what not just what we say, but how we live. And what we do. And how we love. So God's at work. A lot of times we just don't see it. So this Bible here, this I'm going back to this word that said, you shall have the boldness. Therefore, we have the boldness, we have the confidence to enter into the holy places. Yes. Now, would you like to know what the holy places are? Yes. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
That means that word holy places there means the spot that you are in. Oh, that is just so good. The spot that you are in has the immediate presence of God. What does that mean? It means you may be going through a very difficult time, hardship. I mean, it's rough, rough, rough. He said, but when you know that you know that you know, you can enter in right there, right in the midst of that despair. You get this? Right in the midst of that despair. That is the spot that is called a holy place because you can enter into the immediate presence of God right then and right there. Ho! Oh, No, I can't wait to get to church and I can feel the presence of God. No. I'm glad we do feel the presence of God as we assemble together. But guess what? You can feel the presence of God and know the presence of God and experience the immediate presence of God in that, the word means that very spot. That very spot to have confidence. I got confidence. Wait a minute. I'm going through a rough time here. I'm losing this, and this is happening, and people are rising up against me, and this is going on, and my finances and all this, and my marriage is, and then I got and my family and work and losing my job, and that's like all that can be going on. And you said, and then he says, you can come boldly. You can come with confidence. In that very spot that you're in now, you can come, you just walk into the immediate presence of God. I'm telling you what, if you capture that, demons will tremble. Why? Because he's not going to be able to do little things to you, because you know that whatever he does, you can just walk right into the immediate presence of God, says, oh, he's here, and I'm with him. I'm in him and he's in me, right here, right now. This spot, this is a holy spot. This is a holy place. No, you got to go to church to be in a holy place. No, you got to be wherever you are to be in a holy place. He says, therefore, I want you to have this confidence. Have this confidence that you can enter into this holy spot, that you can enter into the very spot of my immediate. When you go back, it says immediate. You don't have to, oh, God, well, I hope you show up. I heard Pastor Terry this morning talking about some of the things, you know, and when you go through things, and some of them will go through things, says, oh, God, where are you? You know why we say that? We're distracted by what's going on and not where he is and not who we are. And how many of you have ever said, God, where are you in all of this? How many of you just like, you know, but see, he says, I want you to come boldly. But you can't come boldly if you've got guilt, if you're guilt-ridden, shame-ridden, if you've got all that stuff, and if the little whispers, that the enemy gives you, if you listen to the whispers. You know, I told the Wednesday night class the other night that, you know, the only thing worse than giving an excuse. How many of you have ever made up excuses? You know, the only thing worse than giving an excuse is listening to one. You didn't make up the excuse, but they gave it and you believed it. The enemy does that all the time. You ain't going to be able to do this, and here's why. You ain't going to be able to go here, and here's why. You ain't going to be able to accomplish this, and here's why. He gives you all these excuses. And one of the worst things about it is not just making one, but it's believing one. There's a lot of excuses that people believe that never came from God, came from the enemy. I like that, the very spot, don't you?
Yes.
How many of you have been in a place where you just don't know what to do? Come on now. I don't know what it was, but I just, my goodness, what in the world am I going to do? You just, guess where he's at? He's right there in that spot. And he says, you don't know what to do, but I do. He said, come with confidence. Have confidence in God. America needs the church to have confidence in their God. Because when the world comes, and the Bible says they're coming, leaders will come, kings will come to the very light that's being given. So when they come, when they say, hey, what are we supposed to do here? We don't know what we're supposed to do here. You can't look up and say, I ain't got a clue. You tell me what you're supposed to do. No, we're supposed to have the answers, because he is the ultimate answer. You ever want any wisdom? Where's it at? If you lack wisdom, what does he say? Ask him, and what did he say about it? He'll give you a little bit. He'll give you just a little bit of wisdom. He'll give you just enough to be dangerous. No, he said, I'll give you wisdom liberally, overflowing. We're at in that spot that we can come boldly to. Well, I tell you, we need to capture that. Just that one. We need to capture that. That no matter what, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how hard it is, that there is a. That, you know, he said there is a place, and it's on. You know, there. That is the holy places. Where is the holy places? Wherever I acknowledge Him and come to Him boldly, that's a holy place. Oh, it's you just need to. Sometimes we just need to just soak it up, to let that marinate within us, and let us meditate on that till it says it gets inside us. He said, "This holy place." He said, "Once you enter that holy place," he said, "you can draw near with a true heart and with full assurance of faith." He said, "You can draw near with a full assurance of faith. Trust with full assurance of trusting in Him." He said, "Then let us hold fast to this confession." So, in the midst of all of that, when you go up to Him, you're holding on to this confession of your hope, and you're not. Well, I'm thinking here, so you might be able to do something. I don't. Could you possibly? No, he says, hold fast to your confession of your hope. Without wavering. Well, I think, hold fast to your confession of your hope without wavering. Then he goes on and he says, and while you're at it, stir each other up. Why would he say that? In the midst of all this, that we can come boldly in the midst of all that's happening, why is he telling us to stir each other up? Iron sharpens iron. Well, there may be somebody right next to you that needs to know and needs to be stirred up to be able to love and to have faith and to trust Him. To stir each other up and encourage one another. We don't do enough of that, do we? To stir each other up. To stir, stir, stir. Hey, did you hear Him? We have our distinguished guest with us today. Even dogs say amen. I just had to throw that. I interpret dogs. So it's like, what did he say? He said amen. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting yourselves coming together, which some are doing. Got it? I don't need church. Ooh, I don't need to assemble together. Ooh, that's not what your Bible says. Your Bible tells you not to neglect the coming together. Patrick Henry said this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religious, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to. He was there. This nation needs a people that has full confidence in their God. That not only are we forgiven, not only are we redeemed. I'll just start it because it goes with this thing. It says, but recall, this is in verse 32, but recall the former days when you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. Remember that in the days that you were enlightened, this thing, this word about enlightened has two meanings. It means to be enlightened, that light has come in you and you can now see. You've been enlightened and you can now see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Well, he was enlightened. Light, enlightened. Light came in and he was able to see. The other side of this thing, the other side of this word means this. It means to show forth the light that is in you. It means to show forth the light that is in you. Everybody say that. To show forth the light that is in me. Light comes in and I can see. Now I have light in me. Then the next part is to show forth the light, because people need to see. America needs to see. Everybody say, America needs to see. America just don't need you to tell them you're a Christian. There's plenty of people that's told America, I'm a Christian. But they saw something different. There was a magazine years and years and years ago. I think it was Newsweek. I'm not real sure about that. But it had an article by this guy, and it says, just when the nation was saying, just when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found that she was just like us. When we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found that she was just like us. Do you know that's the reason that Moses said, unless your presence goes with us, we're not going. We're not moving from this spot right here unless your presence goes with us. Because if your presence does not go with us, they will not detect that we're any different than they are. See, we need to be conscious of his presence. We talked about that weeks ago, a few months ago, about being conscious of his presence. We need to understand that we carry the very presence of God, and we can enter these holy spots, but we haven't. We've been enlightened by his love and his light. But not only that, but we need to show forth the very light that we have in us. It's like Pat coming up and Pat saying, come on up here, Pat. And Pat was saying, Pat is not, this is a story, come on up. And Pat comes to me and said, Pastor, I'm really struggling. I need food. We're just down and out. And I'm out on my luck. I just don't have food. I don't have this. And we're just struggling, me and my family. Well, God bless you, brother. You have a seat. I'll be praying for you. Are y'all getting me? Just because I said I was praying for them, more than likely we don't even pray for them after we tell them. Sometimes. The Lord convicted me over that years ago. I mean, he really did. He convicted me over that. I've told people, said, okay, I'll pray for you. And then it'd be later, to be a day or two, God will bring that, the Holy Spirit bring that back to my mind. I'm like, God, I did. And he said, if you don't pray for them when you tell them, so I learned, pray right there. Pray right then. Well, I might be. It doesn't matter. You're in a holy spot. Whew, great day. You're in a holy spot. See, it's one thing me to tell him I love him. It's another thing me to say I love you and here's you something to eat. I love you and here's something that's going to help you get by. I love you and here's something else. I'm praying for you, but until God fully answers all the things that you've been wanting, here's something that I want to give you. Light showing. You start messing with Christian's comfort, and you have awakened. You have awakened a sleeping bear. They don't want to hear that Christianity is a liability. They just want it as an asset, but no liability. No. I don't have any responsibility in being a Christian. Well, you're eat up with responsibilities. Responsibilities comes with it.
Yes.
We have an awesome opportunity before this nation of ours that we live in to show forth and to be everything that we need to be at that very moment, at the spot that we're supposed to be in and we are in, that we can show forth His glory, not just talk a talk, but walk a walk. But to be able to show forth who He is, to be enlightened, that shows. To be enlightened to the point that it shows. And he says this. You need to understand, once you're enlightened, you need to recall that you received the light and you started saying things that were not politically correct. And you started doing things that were not politically correct. Guess what's coming? Opposition. He said that you were treated badly and you suffered. What it said. As a matter of fact, some of them, the scripture goes on and says, some of your people were thrown in prison because they were showing the light. And they got put in prison, not for doing wrong, but for doing righteousness. They were imprisoned, not for doing wrong, but for doing righteousness. And that passage goes on and says, and you began to show compassion to those jailbirds. You began to show compassion to the people that's in prison for doing right. And because you showed compassion, they plundered your home. And you joyfully accepted it. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your home when you started showing compassion to your brothers and sisters who were in prison for doing right. You remember Peter? Jesus told him, Peter said, I'm going to be with you from now on. I got you back. And just as soon as they started thrashing and tearing Jesus apart physically, Jesus looks across the courtyard and he sees Peter and they look and he's already denied him. Do you know him? Nope. Why? The pressure's too big. Do you know him? No, I know about the plundering. I don't want to be plundered. But do you know him? I swear I don't know the man. Their eyes gaze across the courtyard. Why? Because he was in the camp of not being bold enough and not being strong enough to be able to stand up for what is right and to be able to say, hey, I'm one of his disciples. But there was an encounter with the Holy Spirit that came later that Peter became one of the most bold men that you'd ever want. Why? What made the difference? The power of the holy presence of God living inside him and the Holy Spirit being upon him. And he gets up and he preaches a message and he tells them, you're the one that crucified him. Now, he wasn't afraid of no plundering then. America needs the church to be so confident in God that we will gladly accept whatever, listen, the plundering of our own home. But if we're so, I know it's difficult. It's totally difficult. We have got to get to the place that our possessions do not rule us. If I'm afraid of losing this, guess what I won't do? Whatever I do to lose that, I won't do it because I'm not going to lose this. But he said they joyfully accepted the plundering of their homes just because they associated with the people that's in prison for doing righteousness. America needs a church that is strong and that strong in the belief of God that none of this stuff outweighs who he is. I'm going to share one comment from a movie, and then we'll go home. There's plenty more here, but I don't have time. You remember The Patriot? The movie The Patriot? It's in here somewhere. The Patriot. The Patriot. Mel Gibson. You know him. Let's see. One. That's not it. Two. That's not it. Where's he at? Well, y'all might not hear him today. Yes, it's on the last page. There's a scene in the movie, and we're going to go home after this. There's a scene in the movie in The Patriot that the militia needs to be built up, and they're sitting in the church, and they want men to volunteer to come and fight for freedom. And there's a woman that stands up in church, and just because she stands up in church, they all look around and say, "What are you doing talking?" And we'll talk about that sometimes too. But she says this, because nobody was standing up. She says this, "Will you now, when you are needed the most, stop at only words? Is that the kind of men you are? I ask only that you act upon the beliefs of which you have spoken, or strongly spoken, and then which you have strongly believed." Will you now, when you're needed the most, stop at only words? I'm only asking you to take a stand in what you've already spoken that you strongly believe. I'm just asking you to respond to that. And then right after that, men started popping up saying, "I'll go." Even the preacher goes, and somebody says, "Preacher, where are you going?" He said, "Preacher's got to take care of his flock, and sometimes that means going and beating off the wolves." So that's the question for all of us. Will we now stop at mere words? Or will we enter into the confidence that we have in him and show forth the very presence of who he is, walking out the very things that he said? But it will cost us. It may even cost us the plundering of our homes. But the Bible says that we should recall that being enlightened means to receive the light and to be able to show the light. And if they plunder our homes and if we lose possessions over it, we should joyfully accept it. I want to be there, don't you? I want to be at that place to where no matter what it is I'm going to lose, I'm going to do what he wants me to do. Now that's the call. That's the call. America needs that kind of church to live in this nation. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. This thing about healing rain falling down, that's a powerful song because it says, look, I'm recognizing your presence falling. I'm recognizing that you're here, that you're pouring out what you want to give us, and I'm not afraid. Do you know that cowards in the book of Revelation, cowards is the first group named that is cast into hell? First group named is cowards. That says something, doesn't it? He does not want us to shrink back. The Bible says that we are not of those who shrink back. There are some that shrink back when they start out, and they start shrinking back because the pressure's on. And the Bible says, in fact, when you read the passion of that passage in the 10th, it's like this. We are not of those who shrink back. I know there's some that shrink, but we are not of those who shrink back. We're moving forward in faith. We are not of those who shrink back. Sort of makes you want to go home and sit down and eat some chicken, doesn't it? Look, this thing is something that it has to get inside you and marinate. And I understand that. It's been stirring in me for quite a while. Listen, one of our things that we say is we love God, we love people, we make a difference. But you need to understand, when you start making a difference, there'll be people that rise up because they don't like the difference that you're making. You may as well get used to that. Do not stop making a difference. The people that don't like it's going to rise up and talk about you, sling mud about you. They're going to give reproach to you. They're going to do all of that. The enemy just wants you to, I better recalculate this. No, we are not of those who shrink back. We're going on. We're going on in faith and in courage. This nation needs you. Will you answer the call? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, God, that you're in the midst of stirring us, getting us to the place of just like the rabbit, just getting us to the place that we're going to multiply. We're just going to go forth and multiply. And that our prayers that we've been praying for a long time is going to rise up and be answered. Lord, we thank you. We love 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 you. Doug and Vicky, if you guys can come up, just come up. If you do not know Jesus, and you want to say, I need to make a confession of faith and accept Christ, then you come up now and talk to this beautiful couple, and they'll show you the way of doing that. Thank you, Lord, for the richness of your presence and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to stir us up, that we will move forward, and that we will shake the darkness with your light and your presence. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. One more time. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. He says that he has not given us the spirit of fear or intimidity or passivity. Let's get rid of the passive spirit. Lord, break this thing off of us. The one that will not make a difference. That this thing that keeps us from saying what you're saying and doing what you're doing. Lord, break it off of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, send us forth in your great power and your great love. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Celebrate. Have a great time. No Wednesday night services. No Wednesday night services during July. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.